Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. If you haven't already done so, please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, as we are getting back into our study through Ephesians that we began last August, and we'll be finishing the book up until Thanksgiving, Lord willing. We'll actually be in the verses that Connor just read over the next 4 weeks, and we'll start off today with a special message directly to the children, and I'm going to need the kids' help. So, if you are a child, I should say a child in the home, and I'm really thinking mainly elementary age, preschool, elementary age, I would love it, really need it, if you would come forward this morning and sit on one of these carpet squares that I have laid out for you. If you have a shy child that would like to come forward with a parent, that would be totally fine too. And if you're in middle school or high school, given that these verses are still directly for you, and you want to encourage the littler ones by coming forward and setting an example for them and surrounding them with mentorship and leadership, that would be awesome as well. So, come forward. There's all the smiling, happy children, or some of them, I should say. Grab a carpet square. Okay, yeah, you took off your shoes. This is going to be a great, I can already tell. This is going to be a fun time. Find a carpet square and sit crisscross applesauce. Anybody else that would like to go? Like I said, middle schoolers and high schoolers are welcome to join if they like. But they're too cool, which is what I expected. And that's fine. All right, so I have a question to ask you guys. What would you think, and we're going to have you raise your hands for answers, what would you think if I told you that I was going to have my Bible and instead of reading it from now on, I was going to wear it around everywhere I went as a hat? Would that be a good idea or a bad idea? What do you think?
Bad idea.
Bad idea. Okay. Now here's the part where you have to read my mind and tell me why I think it would be a bad idea. What are three reasons you can think of that this is not a good idea? Why shouldn't I wear it on my head?
Because that's the word of God.
Very good. So that would be disrespectful. That wouldn't be something that a person of faith would do, to wear a Bible on their head. Why else might I not want to wear a Bible on my head? It could fall off. It wouldn't fit. It's not right for a Bible to go on your head. That's where you put hats and things. And here's probably the hardest one. What else might be the reason that it wouldn't be wise or good to wear a Bible on your head and to never take it off? Right, it'll fall down. Yeah, what else?
And it will break.
It might break, true. This is the hard one. What do you think, Zoe?
The pages might rip.
The pages could rip, right? How effective would a Bible be if it was on my head? What do you do with a Bible? What do you do?
Read it.
Yeah, you read it. So if I'm just carrying a Bible around on my head, would it benefit me at all if I just had it there? No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be good. Now, so we talked about three things, and they all begin with the letter F. And you have to remember these, boys and girls, because you're going to help me with the sermon. All right? The first one is you don't wear a Bible on your head because it's not fitting. It's not right. It's not where it goes. The second one is you don't wear it on your head because it's not what a person of faith would do. So we have fitting. We have faith. And third, you don't wear a Bible on your head because if you don't read it, it won't help you, and so it wouldn't bear fruit. Fitting, faith, and fruit. You guys got it? Fitting, faith, and fruit. Remember those. Now, here's what's really cool about this. These are the same three ideas that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, especially to the children. Because back then, almost 2,000 years ago, when the church would gather like we are gathered this morning, these letters would be read. And the apostle had something just for you today. He starts off the sixth chapter addressing the kids. And so we are going to do that as well. Let me read again some verses.
The letters
were read. That's right. Okay. Yes, Anna? This is good. This is interactive. This is what we wanted. That's right, 2,000 years ago, not long after Jesus died. So let me read these for you, and I'm going to need your help. Children, obey your parents. Don't talk unless you're called on, please. Obey your parents and the pastor when he's trying to use a sermon for you this morning. I'm sorry, you never added the word of God. That is, no, strike that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. All right, so what does Paul say, what does God say that children should do? Raise your hand if you caught that. What do you think, Zoe? Obey their parents, that's right. And the other word was, this is a harder one. What do you think? Did you catch it, Anna? Obey and?
Can I take my jacket off?
You can, that's fine. Honor. Obey your parents and honor them. So when we obey our parents, it basically means when they give us instructions that we listen to them, that it's appropriate for kids to listen to them. And in our culture, you obey your parents really until you're out of the house. Now, can you believe in other cultures and even in ancient Rome, children were called to obey their parents their whole lives? Their whole lives, they were required to obey their parents in that culture. You can if you like, yes. You may if you want, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Nobody's going to hold you hostage up here. You're good to go back. In our culture, it's more customary that we obey our parents while we live with them. So if your parents are paying for your car insurance or buying you clothes, you're putting a roof over your head, we are called to obey them. Honoring our parents is more about kind of the attitude we have towards them. It means that we hold our parents in high esteem. It means that we respect them. It means that we don't do this. We don't roll our eyes and go, "Ugh, you're so strict." Or put our hands together like this and stomp away, and things like that. It means when our parents, when we get older, our grown siblings don't talk negatively about our parents behind their backs in an unkind way. Can you believe mom did that again? Can you believe dad did that again? It's about honoring them. It means that God gave us parents to raise us, and we are called to hold them up in our minds and hearts and to honor them. But why? What was that first word that begins with the letter F? Who remembers? Ellie, do you remember the first word that begins with the letter F? Who else might have it? Ariel? Close. Lily? Almost. The first one. That's the second one. Anna? Nope. Fitting. It was not fitting. Let me tell you what that means. It means that when we obey our parents, it just fits. It's just right. Remember the verse that said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So when God made creation, he made things with order. The sun comes up, and then what does the sun do? It goes down, and it comes back up the other day. In the spring, it's right for the birds to build their nests. In the fall, it's right to harvest the corn. You don't gather in the spring, and you don't build a nest in the fall. You don't put a glove on your feet. You don't put your socks on your hands, unless you're doing a puppet show, and that would be really awesome. But the point that Paul is making here is God created the world in a way that certain things are just right. They just fit. And what he's saying here is, children obeying their parents is just right. It's just morally right. It's good. It's the way God designed it to be. And when kids don't obey their parents, you can look at them and say, "That ain't right." Let me give you an example. Have you ever been in a store where a child was going out of the store with their parents, maybe they're 5 or 6, and they saw a toy that they really wanted? They said, "Mommy, I want that toy." Mommy says, "Sweetie, you have a bazillion of those toys. You don't need that toy." And then the child goes, no, I have to have that toy." And mommy says, "Look, you're making a scene. You don't yell at me. I have lots of toys for you at home. You already have 3 of that exact toy. You're not going to get a toy." And then the child goes, no, I have to have a toy. Give me a toy." And mommy goes, "Oh my goodness." And then other people are reverbing in the speakers. And they look at that child and they go, "That ain't right. It's just not right." Now, when a child throws a fit in a store, part of it is they don't know how to manage their emotions. But what's really happening there is, just like all of us, when we don't get what we want, we throw tantrums. And guess what? Kids aren't the only ones who throw tantrums. I have a secret for you. Teenagers do it too. They roll their eyes and they slam doors and they go, "My parents are the worst. And I have another secret for you. Your parents, listen, your parents, they throw tantrums too. They just do it in their hearts. They might not roll on the floor and kick, although maybe some do. But even when you get older, when you don't get what you want, in our hearts, sometimes even adults will throw these tantrums and be so mad at people because we don't get what we want. And it's just not right. It's not fitting for children to not be kind to and to obey their parents. So, that's the first thing. What's the second word that begins with the letter F? Who remembers? Ariel, yeah. Let me help you out. It's faith.
Oh,
you knew it. Yeah, sorry. You all knew it. You all knew it. It's just, that's right. The second word was faith. So we honor our parents because it's fitting, and we honor our parents because it's faithful. What the child who loves God wants to do is honor them, because the scriptures here say we are to obey our parents in the Lord, and that this is the first commandment with a promise. All right, kids, I'm asking lots of questions. First commandment with a promise. What do you think Paul's talking about? How many big commandments are there, if you will? That's right. We need to listen and obey. What are some big commandments that God gave to Moses? Raise your hand, please, sir. Zoe. How many commandments did he give to Moses? Anna.
10
commandments. That's right. That's one of those commandments. And here's extra credit. Do you guys remember which commandment it was where he said to obey your parents, to honor your mother and father? What number? 5. Excellent. Now, this is great. Adults, check this out. This is awesome. How many tablets, extra credit, did Moses give the 10 commandments to the kids on?
1,000.
Not 1,000. 2. So, good guess, though. So there were 2 tablets with 10 commandments, and how many commandments on each tablet do we think?
5.
Very good. Now, the first 4 commandments are about God. And the last 5 commandments are how we relate to each other. But that 5th commandment about parents, different teachers would teach that was to serve as a bridge between how we would honor God and how we would honor other people. And here's why they said that. Because parents do to kids a lot of things that God promises to do for our children. You may, if you want. You can go back. Yeah. Okay. So here's what I mean. God creates us, right? But he creates us using our parents. God takes care of us and feeds us, but when we're children, often it's our parents who feed us. God protects us, but it's our parents when we're children who protects us. God promises to shelter us, but it's our parents who do that. So what we believe is saying here is one of the most direct ways we can show faith in God and to honor God is how we treat our parents. Because our parents do so much for us. But we can be very thankless. Let me tell you a story of what I did when I was about 9 years old. I was 9 years old, and I think my mommy asked me to do a chore, and I didn't want to do it, and I'm sure it was all my fault. And I said to myself, I'm leaving. I can't be in this house anymore. It's too strict. I'm running away. So I walked out the backyard, and I got up and I sat in the tree house that my parents built for me, which is very ironic. And I sat in the tree house and I thought about, where am I going to go now? And I thought to myself, well, my parents feed me and I don't have a job and I don't know how I'd make money. And so I thought about it for about 10 minutes and I said, I'm going home. And I walked back inside. I said, Mom, can I have a snack? And I just think that's a funny story. Because at least in my little 9-year-old mind, when I stopped and thought about it, I realized how many things my parents did for me. And so here's a question I have for you and for all of us. How thankful are we for our parents? We're so quick to want to think about the things that they don't do for us or the rules that we don't like, especially if we're living at home. But they do so much for us. They got up for us in the middle of the night when we were babies. They feed us, they clothe us, they take care of us. All these things. We should be thankful. And guess what? Hold on. When they give you a commandment or a rule, it's their way of saying, I love you. So if they say, don't run out in the street, you should hear, I love you. If they say, you're too young to have a smartphone, I think you need to grow up a little bit older, that's their way of saying, I love you. If they say, I'm not really sure if you should go to that party just yet, it's their way of saying, I love you. Just like God, whose commandments for us are his way of saying, I love you, I want to protect you, I want you to flourish, so is it with our parents who aren't perfect, but when our parents give us rules, it's their way of saying, I love you. And so when we honor them and we obey them, we show faith. We have faith that God gave us our exact parents for a reason. And just like how as we adults should honor our Heavenly Father by having faith in him and obeying his commands, so we as children, living at home especially, should honor our earthly father and mother, having faith that their commands are good for us and that God has put us in that family for a reason. Last one and we'll be done because I think we're nearing the threshold of time. What is the third word, the final word that begins with the letter F? Who remembers it? Abigail.
Fruit,
that's right. God says if we honor or obey our parents, hold on, Anna, 1 second, please. My love, she turned 6 yesterday. She's all jazzed. Let me read. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So I won't go into all the detail, but God was saying, listen, here's how this works. When the family goes into the promised land, there's certain things that must come to pass for the whole thing to work right. And one of those things was if children would respect and honor and learn from their parents or whoever they live with, grandparents, aunts and uncles, whoever it may be, it goes better. It fits. God promises to bless, at least in a general sense, that kind of obedience. It's fruitful. So children and teenagers, and this from the Word of God and from experience, I have another secret for you. Fighting your parents generally just makes things worse. It just makes it harder. Sometimes we dig in and we say, my parents are so strict, I'm just going to be miserable, I'm going to be moody, I'm going to have attitude, and I'm going to dig in, and that only makes the whole things worse. All of these things worse. I have an idea. If you want to be rebellious, and this is especially true for middle schoolers and high schoolers, if you want to be rebellious, honor your father and your mother. Because all of your classmates and everything that you see on TV will tell you that it's cool and you get glory and it's awesome if you sneak out of the house and lie to your parents and disobey them. So the most conforming thing you can do, the most what everybody else is doing thing you could possibly do is rebel against your parents. But if you truly want to do something, Ellie, sit down, please. If you truly want to do something that's glorifying to God and beneficial for both your family and yourself, I would challenge you to do something totally opposite. Honor your father and your mother. Obey your father and your mother. And this will be pleasing and glorifying to God and beneficial to you. Yes? That's right. That goes under the faith one, right? She says, good to obey your parents, not just for the good it'll bring out in your life, but when you honor your parents, it's honoring to God. That's a good addition. Thank you for that. Now, let me close with this. Who here has obeyed their parents perfectly? You have? I don't know. Do we need to have mama come down? I'm kidding. Here's the thing. None of us obeyed our parents perfectly. None of us can because of sin. But one person always obeyed their parents. Who was he?
Jesus,
that's right. Jesus always obeyed his parents. Even up until the death on the cross, he said, not my will, but yours be done to his heavenly Father. And here's why that's such good news. Because Jesus obeyed perfectly, even when we disobey, we can put our faith in him. In his perfect life, in his death, in his burial, and he washes away all of our sin and all of our disobedience. And the Bible says that we are seen as righteous as Jesus was. Jesus obeyed so perfectly, boys and girls, look in my eyes, that when we believe in Jesus, his perfect obedience is given to us as if we obeyed our parents perfectly. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That's the best news we'll ever hear. And it's true for all of us. All of us have fallen so far short. All of us have disobeyed so many times. And in every way we've disobeyed, Jesus obeyed perfectly. And that's incredible that we can be forgiven for our sins, given eternal life, and that he will help us to glorify him as we walk in his grace forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that great news?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm going to pray for us, and you guys can go back to your parents for the final worship song, and then we'll dismiss shortly, okay? Thanks for being such good listeners and for helping me out with the message this morning. Let me pray.